I want you to know that I haven't got all the answers, but I'm desirous to have the answers. And I've read so many books, and I've heard so many messages, and I've been in services where, you know, we've had healing evangelists get up, and they've talked about all the testimonies that they've seen happen as they've ministered. And I'm sitting in a meeting going, come on, God, let's do one here. How many people understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you feel like that? I get frustrated like you wouldn't believe, because I want to see God move like he says he was and did and would and he's going to, and we can and does. Did I get them all done? For me, I'm a real practical coot, and I need to have things simple, and I need to know step by step what to do. Now, I don't think we can ever put God in a box in regard to formulas, and I don't think healing is a formula. I think it's something that God says is going to happen. And yet there's things that we have to do, and there are conditions. I have no doubt about that. And so what I've been doing, rather than reading books and rather than doing anything, is I've just been inquiring of God. God, I know you want us to move in this area. I know you want us to seek your face. I know you want us to do stuff. And God, I want to have some simple keys that I can do. And if I can do them, then I know everyone else can do them, because me being a simpleton means that you people who are very, very smart will be able to do them. So tonight, I'm going to move on from last week, but I want to just recap quickly last week's message, just for those who might not have heard it, and for those who did hear it, it's good that you hear it again. So what do we know about divine healing? Well, we know that healing is in the atonement. In fact, we know that whatever Jesus did on the cross, healing was a part of it. And I'm not going to give you all the scriptures, because that would mean I'm preaching the sermon from last week. You can get it off the web. We also know that it's God's will that we are healed or would be healed. We know that we're empowered to pray for the sick. We wouldn't be told to pray for the sick if they weren't going to get well. We know that we're told to ask for prayer ourselves if we are sick. And so there would be obviously cases when we pray for ourselves we don't get better, or there are times when we pray for ourselves and we don't get better, so we're to ask for prayer. We know that in the times that we live right now, we're going to see and we can expect God to do greater works than he did through Jesus. The Bible tells us that. We also know that there are going to be trials, there are going to be testings, right, Ed? You here, Ed? Thought you would be. And we need to persevere and have patience during those. We also know that we need to be honest with our situation. Say it as it is. You know, it's not this blab-it-grab-it stuff that if you confess that you've got something, then you haven't got faith and you're bringing it upon yourself. We say it as it is. Yeah, there are giants in the land. That's the truth. But with our God, we can see the giants defeated. That is the truth as well. And so that's what we know. We also know that faith is not enough. You know, some nice person, when Chris was nearly dying in hospital, came and said, it's because you haven't got enough faith that you're here right now. It's got nothing to do with faith. Faith is a part of it, but there's also works. There's also effort that we must put in. The Bible tells us that. And so I went on and shared some of the works that we have to do. Well, one of the works we have to do is put God first, seek first the kingdom of God. Another part of the works is putting the past behind us. Another part of the works is keeping our mind focused on God. Of course, another part of the works is prayer. Alan preached on prayer last week. If you didn't get that message, get it. Fantastic message. Another part of the works is spiritual warfare, is coming against the enemy. And then another part of the works that we have to do, adding to the things that God has already said that is ours, is that we must believe his word. And this is where I think I'd like to say revelation, but I don't know whether that's fair to put it as that, because sometimes they're not revelation, sometimes it just becomes clear what we've already known. The thing that really came clear and what I would call the first step or the first thing we can do is this scripture that comes out of that point of believing the word of God. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. King James, I think, says it better. It says it will quicken our mortal bodies. It will make alive our mortal bodies. And for those of you who I've counseled over the years, who I've spoken to, I say, hey, If this is what the Spirit of God is going to do in our bodies, then it's time that we started to actually see that in our spirit mind. So if you've got an ache or a pain, you start to see that happening. But as I say that, one of the things that has become very, very clear to me is that sometimes that doesn't seem to work. And there's got to be an answer for that. And this is where I think God unpacked something very fresh to me. One of those things that I think now is very, very clear is that we have a battle going on in the spirit realm. Now, I've often thought that that means we're fighting not flesh and blood as in other people. You know, Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, weaknesses, da-da-da-da-da-da, in heavenly places. Or 1 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, I've always taken that outward and looked at it as my battle is not with people, but it's in the spiritual realm. But what God unveiled for me in regard to healing is that sometimes the battle is not in my flesh and blood, and it's my flesh and blood that I'm should be coming against. It's the thing that's in there that's causing a blockage. And so in spiritual warfare, we're to fight against the enemy who sometimes masks himself in our own flesh and blood. That then the Spirit might start to do what the Spirit says he's going to do, and that's quicken our mortal body. And you've heard the testimony. I'm going to say it again because it's important you understand what I'm saying. I knocked my elbow. I'd like to get another test me, but I don't particularly want to have another pain. So this we'll just stay with this test me, okay? I knocked my elbow once, and it really did hurt. And I thought, ooh, that's going to hurt. And sure enough, it did hurt. And it kept on hurting for about 2 weeks. And then one day as I was walking around the block at home, I said to God, hey, God, this elbow's still hurting, and it shouldn't be hurting anymore. It should be healed by now. I've been asking for your healing, God, and it hasn't happened. And God said, you're asking incorrectly. You should be breaking the power of the enemy. You should be being delivered from the enemy that's blocking that healing. And so immediately I stood against the works of darkness. I stood against the enemy, Satan himself, the demonic hordes that were stopping or robbing that healing. And immediately I did that. That song we just sang, he is our deliverer. Immediately I did that, I was delivered. Now, it wasn't deliverance. It wasn't screaming or withering like a snake on the ground. It was just happened. And within, no lies, within 100 meters, there was no pain in that elbow. And so the first thing I want you to get in regard to healing is that sometimes there is a battle in the flesh and blood, that it's not flesh and blood. And so if you're not being healed, then why don't you stand against the works of darkness that might be blocking the power of God that lives within you from healing your body? So that's number one. That was last week. So let's look at this week. Can we have that scripture up, please, Cam? And I think this is an incredibly exciting scripture. And it's the scripture that as I've walked and as I've prayed since the last time I preached, seeking God for another key, as it were, to healing, it's this scripture that has been in my mind. Scripture of binding and loosing. Scripture of again, exercising authority. But as I started to unpack this scripture, as I started to meditate on, as I walked around the block and mused on this scripture, you know, it was like God was giving me a line upon line, step by step, unpacking of something fresh and something new. And again, I've tried to package this really simply so that you can go away tonight and you can say, I understand that and I can do that. Now, the theology is sound. There's no doubt about that. The simplicity, we could make it a lot more complicated, but we won't. Just grab what I have to say. So Matthew 6, and I'm sorry it's a bit too small, but I want the whole lot up on there. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am, they replied. Some think he is John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say, or one of the other prophets.
He pressed them, "And how about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are Christ the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus came back, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I'll put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You'll have a complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven." So the first thing that I was challenged in this scripture as I walked around the block was, "Graham, who do you say I am? Graham, who am I to you? Dave, who's Jesus to you? Lord and Savior. Nick? Friend. Matt? Thank you. I thought you were listening. It was, get out. You're playing on your phone. Matthew 16, 13 to 19. Pete, who's Jesus to you? Best friend. Come on, keep yelling him out, people. Who is he? Tails? Tree, sorry? Hey? Your provider. Your healer, redeemer, conqueror, comforter. Down the back in that group there, the silent group down there, the ones that are all asleep. Huh? Rock? One more out of that body of people there. Quick, one more. Quick, 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 out of that group. I want one more out of that group. Hey? Brother, saviour, that's two. That's okay, you can greedy over there. What about over here? Father, thank you. What was that? Huh? Provider, thank you. In this group? Best friend, hiding place, peace, good. Okay, so that's what we know he is. But look at the scripture. Look what it says up there. What did the disciples do? When Jesus said, "Who am I?" The disciples said, some would say that you're John the Baptist. Others would say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah. Maybe you're one of the prophets, some would say. You know, that'd be like me asking you that question, who is Jesus to you? And you say, "Well, Alan Meyer last week said he was my friend." Or Matthew Henry's commentary says he's my brother. Or I was reading a book the other day and they said he's my provider. What does that indicate to you when you use what someone else says he is? What does it mean? What does it indicate? No relationship. You have no relationship with them. And Jesus, he says, "Yeah, that's okay, but who do you say I am?" In short, I don't want to know what others say about me. I don't want to know what another preacher says about me. I don't want to know what the books say about me. I want to know what you think about me. What do you think I am? How do you feel what do you feel about me? And that's when Peter came up with this incredible statement. A statement that really pleased Jesus. Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Have a look at Jesus' response. "God bless you, Simon. God bless you, Simon." The next thing I said to myself, well, why was Jesus so pleased? Why do you think Jesus was so pleased? Chrissy? He knew him personally. Would that be a good answer? They'd walked with him, they'd talked with him, they'd watched him do things. And all of a sudden, There's a relationship. There's a sense of ownership. There's a sense of knowing. There's a sense of belonging. There's a sense of being. It has to do with relationship. It has to. Jesus said this straight after, God bless you, Simon. He said, you didn't get that answer out of books. You didn't get it from a sermon. You didn't get it from a commentary. You didn't get it from another teacher. You got that straight from my Father in heaven, God Himself. He let you in on the secret of who I really am. You know, I think that's an incredibly important thing. I'd like you to stop. I'd like you to do a selah. Stop and think on that. How do you really know Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? You know, you can't say He's your healer if you don't think He can heal you. You can't say He's my provider if you don't trust Him for provision. You can't say He's my Lord, He's my Savior. You know, I was walking the block this morning and I was going through all the things that Jesus is to me, and it got to Lord, you're my Lord. And He said, woo, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Am I doing the things that God tells me to do? Dave talked about holiness again this morning and about all the things that God has given to us. You know, there's no way that we can even believe what Dave is saying unless we're prepared to accept that we are sons of the living God. We are the bride of Christ, as he talked about this morning. Repeating what somebody else says, or repeating what you think somebody wants to hear just because you know it's the right answer, is just head knowledge. I know that we study for exams and we often write our answers without even knowing what we mean, but we've learnt to write the right answers. That means zip if you don't know how you got there. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we get stuck on head knowledge and we keep pushing head knowledge and we wonder why it's not working. The first part of the key of what we're saying tonight is that we have to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to really know who He is. My son is a helicopter pilot. Well, he tells me he is. You know, he says he's read all the books. And he had one of those toy planes, and he could sit right here, and he could go zzz, and he could make it fly. You know, one of those toy battery helicopters, and it was fantastic. But I tell you what, sitting in a lounge room watching a helicopter pilot fly a helicopter doesn't mean I'm going to hop in a helicopter with him. Doesn't matter how much you say you know, until you can prove it to me, I'm not going to believe it. Watching my son hover down at the 12 apostles and take off and fly and that and come back. Well, now I believe that you can fly. Now I will hop in with you. I wonder how many of you who told me who Jesus was knows that from a personal living relationship with Him. Or is it just head knowledge? Now, knowing you guys, it was real. But that, to me, indicates that you've got an experience. You've got a relationship. You've outworked something in you. But, you know, there's far much more to this passage. A passage which I think is incredibly exciting. Let's have the next slide, thanks, Cam. It says, and now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. And this is the rock on which I'll put together my church. Now, I could unpack all this, and that's just a lot of theology at the moment, so we won't do it. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. What God's really saying is that from that point on, that became the foundation stone for what the church is today, or what the church took off to be. But that's not all. you will have a complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth and earth and heaven. What an incredible thought. What a fantastic thing. Do you know, having the intimate relationship with Jesus, knowing who he is, who do people say that I am? He's my healer, he's my provider, he's my savior, he's my Lord. Having that intimate personal relationship was the thing that entitled Peter to get the keys that God talked about. The keys to heaven and to everything in it. Nick, because you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, there you go. It's a pleasure. Can I have it back for a minute? I know I did. I want it back. Thank you. Because you said he was your healer and you know him as that, there's your key. And that will open everything that's in heaven. It's even got Thailand written on it. Do you understand? That's what Jesus did. He might not have given Peter a physical key, but he says, I'm giving you the key to heaven, the key to everything that is in heaven. If you don't know who Jesus is, you don't have a key. You don't have the ability of opening up the door that gives you everything that Jesus has won for you. But on the same token, you're not going to get the key by saying what others would say. Well, I know that Alan Myers says that you are the life keys. That Dave Hernandez says that I'm the bride of Christ, and so you're the bridegroom. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's what they say. But that doesn't get you a key because you don't know me personally. So if you want the key, who do you say I am? Let's get through the questions. You know, you ring up on the call centers, and what do? Can you tell me your date of birth? Mm-hmm. Your mother's maiden name? Mm-hmm. Your secret question? Come on now. Well, can you give me a hint what the secret question is? No, you'll know what the secret question is. And what about your tele PIN number? Well, you can't say PIN number because that's not right. The tele PIN that you have. You know, they ask you those security-coded questions before they will open up and talk to you about your file. The Bible gives us a set of questions. In 1 John 4, it says this. Can I have that one up, please? My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world, you know. Here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of Antichrist that you've heard was coming. You know, you get someone who really, really is an anti-God person and say to them, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Do you believe he died and came in the flesh? Do you believe he came in the flesh? Do you believe he died? Do you believe he rose again? Do you believe he sits at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe he died for the sins of the world? I'll guarantee you they won't be able to say yes. They get tripped up because that would mean that they're confessing who Jesus really is. And their father, Satan, doesn't allow them to do that. You know, we have the same security questions in the Bible as we do find when we ring up on the telephone. You only get the key when you can confess openly that you know Jesus as the Son of God, that you know him as the Savior, that you have asked him to be your personal Lord, that you have asked forgiveness, that you know and can confess that his blood has cleansed you from all sin. That's when you get the key. That's when you can say, at least at the start, Jesus is my Savior. And then it's a progression from then on. That's the number one thing that you must be able to say to get the key. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again for me. Jesus shed his blood for me. Jesus has forgiven my sins. That gets you the key. The key that opens up everything. So who is the key? Who's the key? Man alive, we've got to start again. Getting good. Who is the key? I just said it. I just said that something, something, something is the key that opens up the door to everything in heaven. I've just failed as a teacher. Thank you. So who is the key? Thank you. Praise God for people who take notes. Jesus is the key. If you know Jesus, then you've got the key. And that's exactly what Jesus said to Peter. Because you know me, I now give you the key. But Peter had to say who Jesus was, didn't he? Knowing Jesus is our key to the inheritance that has been opened up through his death. Ephesians 1 says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven because we are united with Christ. Now, when we put healing in a box, we often pigeonhole it as healing and put that there and then put all the other promises over here. I'd like to suggest tonight that they're all packaged as one. If you know Jesus as your provider, then he's also your healer. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then he's also your provider. Because every spiritual blessing is there in heaven for us. Think about that. Just meditate on it for a minute. If you can grab a hold of this in its simplicity, and it is simple. In fact, sometimes I think we make the things of God too complicated. If you can grab a hold of this, then you're taking a hold of the key that Jesus gave to Peter. Knowing Jesus personally gives us security. This security frees us up to take hold of everything and anything that Jesus has. I am now a part of his family. I'm his brother. Dave talked about this morning. And everything that Jesus, my brother, has, I have. The Bible tells me that. It says, not even the gates of hell will be able to keep us out. Again, there's warfare. Again, there's a battle. And oftentimes we give up because we don't understand we have the key. You know, this leads to the last thing that Jesus says to Peter, and I think it's the best thing when it comes to enjoying the promises that God has for us. Knowing Jesus, we get the key, but it also gives us authority. Nick, what's that key?
The master key.
The master key. That key opens every physical door on this property. Mike, How much would that key be worth if we had to change every lock?
About $50,000. That's what I reckon too.
That's a pretty powerful key, isn't it? That key's got a little bit of authority, hasn't it? Who do you think I give this key to? So if I gave you this key, Nick, what would it mean?
I have the authority.
You have the authority. That's exactly right. You have the authority. I have trusted you with the authority because I trust you, because I believe that you're going to look after it. I'll have it back too. But I have another key. What's that key, Nick?
It's a safe key.
That's the safe key that you get into when you've got that key. And that safe key has all of our special stuff in there. You know, like the petty cash. You know, Jesus has given us the key to heaven. A key that he says will open every door of heaven and everything in heaven. It is not only the master key, but it's the safe key. He's given it to us because he trusts us, because he loves us, and because we know him. And this key carries with it authority. Authority, the Bible says, to bind on earth and to loose on earth. Authority, the Bible says, that as I bind on earth, will bind in heaven. And as I loose on earth, it will loose it in heaven. That's a powerful key. That's incredible authority. And I think that's a key to what we're talking about with healing. The message says it this way. That's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any door and every door. There's no more barriers between heaven and earth and earth and heaven. Therefore, a yes on earth is a yes in heaven. And a no on earth is a no in heaven. So simple. A key to open and close. A key to bind and loose. Or as the message says, a key for a yes or a no. Now, I have that key because I know Jesus. And I know that as I put that key in the door, it's going to open it and I'm going to go in. Or I'm going to open the cupboard and I'm going to get down that pack of goodies or that pack of goodies. I want some provision, God. Thank you. Healing. Thank you. Whatever the case may be. If I don't know Jesus, I go up with a key, but it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. I can loose now in heaven those things that are rightfully mine. I can bind right now those things that might be trying to stop me from getting the things that I need to get out of heaven. Because now I have authority. You know, Luke 10:19, behold, I'll give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy, and nothing in any way shall harm you. I have the key. I have the authority. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in me will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I have the key. I have the authority. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I have the key. I have the authority. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the key. I have the authority. Neither sickness, neither da-da-da-da-da-da shall separate me from the love of God. I have the key. I have the authority. So let's bring this to a conclusion so I can get home to MasterChef. Could it be that we don't see the healings? Or again, let's package it together. We don't see the miracles, because I see anything that comes from God as a miracle. That we don't see the miracles, the provision, the outworking of the promises of God that we should, because we don't know who Jesus really is? Or could it be that we do know who Jesus is, but we haven't realized that he's given us a key to every spiritual blessing? Or we do know who Jesus is, and we know we have a key, but we haven't exercised the authority that God has given us. Tonight we can add to those works that we add to our faith of using our key. The key that we have been given because we know who Jesus is. The key that Jesus gave us that unlocks everything in heaven. The key that Jesus gave us that allows us to bind and to loose, to say yes and to say no. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what promises you're missing out on. But I can tell you now, if I've been pounding the pavement over the last couple of days, I've been unlocking a few things in heaven. And I've been binding a few things in heaven too. And if you know Jesus, you can do the same. Up to you. Andy, can we close with that last song again, please? Let's stand. Father, I just pray tonight that your word, which I think is pretty simple in what Jesus is saying here, yet really incredibly profound, Lord God, would be like a rhema, that it would be revealed to us. Lord, I'm also aware that we have an enemy who doesn't want this word going forth because it takes away his bit of authority that he's been using. But enemy, this day, I actually put the key in the lock and I bind you tonight. And I say, you're not going to rob people tonight from hearing the word, from walking in the word, from seeing the word outworked. And while we're at it, enemy, I unlock the door of provision. I unlock the door of healing. I unlock the door of revelation. I unlock the door of every spiritual blessing into people's lives. And Lord, as someone said out in the back room when we were praying, that we would see and that we would give testimony to your greatness and the things that you're doing. Lord, your word tells us that people will like what they see and your church will be added to daily. Father, I would like to think that in what we're doing right now, we'll become a people so blessed and walking in so much of the enjoyment of your promises that people will know a marked difference and they'll want to see why. Father, have your way tonight, I pray. Moved by your Spirit, we pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Let's sing this song. God bless you. I really appreciate you coming out tonight. You can get home quickly because I'm on lockup and you can watch MasterChef. Or go home and watch Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott. Sweet horizon, sweet wind upon you, throwing the weight upon you, throwing the weight upon you, Lord. Sweet horizon, sweet wind upon you, throwing the weight upon you, throwing the weight upon you, Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong believer.
See you next week.